Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Tom McNew on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network here on What Would Father Say? Appreciate everybody joining us today. We're going to start off on a new series of topics that I am sure we are going to ruffle some people's feathers. But I'll tell you that this is what this is all about, this program, this network. Is in the whole genesis of Catholic radio is the good, the true, and the beautiful. And we are going to, over the course of the next 9 weeks, we're going to hit you with the truth. And we are going to tackle what Father John calls the nine contentious topics. And we're gonna so I'm gonna start out, I'm gonna list them all off, and then, like I said, over the course of the next 9 weeks, we're gonna dive into each one of these. We're gonna talk, about what the church teaches, and then we're gonna address some and refute some common secular world arguments against each of these nine contentious topics. So, in no particular order, other than this is how we're going to start this, they are contraception, abortion, cohabitation, divorce and remarry, homosexuality, the transgender movement, in vitro fertilization or IVF, the all-male priesthood, and the death penalty. And again, I am sure we are going to ruffle some feathers, but we're going to give you the truth. What the church teaches, there's not any gray area in most of this, and we're going to give you, like I said, the church teaching, and some arguments to help you maybe be better equipped when someone in your friend group or your family wants to make an argument with you about a particular topic here. So
Thanksgiving table conversations.
there you go. There you go. Contraception. Go. Father, thanks again for joining us here on as the star of our show. We appreciate you
Star.
taking some time.
Well,
So
thank you. No, I enjoy this kind of stuff, and these are the things that interest me as well, so.
and so we're going to start now with contraception here. And so Father,
Okay.
let's just, what is the church in a
So
broad
yeah, this
definition,
takes
maybe,
some.
what's the church teaches?
Yeah, so you were kind of nervous it would take up the whole segment. It's where do we get started when the
Yeah.
issue? What does contraception even mean? Contraception against the beginning. First, let me say that Christianity has always saw that the marital act, what the marital act is ordered for, is two things: procreation and the good of the couple. Total gift of self. Marriage is, that's what marriage is. It has two goods, two ends, total gift of self and the good of the couple. Why is that? Well, we're made to give ourselves away. And that's what love is. This is my body given for you. And so contraception, as John Paul II in Theology of the body speaks a language. It speaks a language. And when a wife come together in the marital act, they're almost redoing their vows. I love you so much, we could have a child together. This is ordered towards this. That's what marriage is. Marriage is. Think of it like a baseball team that gets together for practice and just throwing the ball around, just kicking the ball around, or throwing the ball around, hitting the ball. What is baseball ordered towards? What is it ordered towards? What's ordered toward? Winning. That's what it's ordered towards. Winning, that's the goal, the end. Well, marriage has two ends, the good of the couple, and is ordered towards children. It may not happen, just like a baseball team might lose every game. But as like the body speaks a language, when something comes between a husband and wife purposely in the marital act, because the body speaks a language, it says, I give myself all to you. Well, you can lie with your body. You can lie with it. You can say, I give myself all to you. Not this part. Hopefully, and now all of a sudden, children are to be fear. Children are to be thwarted and resisted, but I still want to have sex. So it's no longer a gift, it's a taking. It changes the whole act. It doesn't say, a man doesn't say to his wife, I give myself to you. He says to his wife, I'm taking something from you. I'm using you for an orgasm. I'm using you for my pleasure, and I don't want a responsibility. So contraception tells the world what the world wants. Sex without consequences. Sex without consequences. Sex without responsibility. Love without responsibility. That's the exact opposite. If anybody's interested in a great book called Love and Responsibility by John Paul II, one of the greatest books ever written, it says to love someone is to take responsibility for them. And that's hard. I mean, there's a sacrifice involved. There's a sacrifice involved. But that's what we're made for. We're made to give ourselves away. You know, all these contentious issues you put on there, Tom, with the exception of the death penalty, but you can make an argument too with the death penalty. All of these are the same issues that every Protestant denomination has a problem with. Sex, love, and marriage. What is it? Sex, I'm sorry, sex authority and marriage. Sex authority and marriage. So I'll skip ahead a little bit because this is not just a Catholic thing. All Christians, all of Christianity always stood against contraception and defiling the marriage bed. Even before 1054, all the church fathers, when they found out that there were ways that people were contracepting, that was thought of what prostitutes did. That's what prostitutes did. They would drink poison so they wouldn't get pregnant. And a man would use that because he wanted to get a prostitute. I have a, it's in my, I have this document of all the church fathers before 1054. But even before the, even during the Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Wesley, Baptists, all of them, well, they were unanimous that contraception was a sin. If you don't want to have children, then don't have sex. That was it. And then, but children were a blessing. In the Old Testament, you know, if you were barren, that was considered a curse. It was considered a curse. But if you had children, you were seen as being blessed. And in our society, you know, in urban society, and having children has not cost you. But then in rural societies, when you're poor, you need more children. You need more children. It's seen as a blessing. God has blessed you. So up to about 1930, every single denomination agreed with us that contraception was immoral and illicit. Now, in 1920, the Lambeth Council of the Anglicans got together and they reaffirmed that contraception is a sinful thing to do. 10 years went by, and like the way a lot of things work in this world and within Christianity, the Anglicans did it again. They said at the Lambeth Council in 1930 that only in certain situations is it okay for a husband and wife to use contraception to limit the amount of babies they had.
Crack in
And
the
you
door.
can it, crack in the door, foot in the door. You can even see the camel's nose under the tent. Because by then, I mean, people are already using potions and condoms. They're a contraception long before the pill, long before the pill. But between the pill and 1930, every single Protestant denomination caved. And I say that in all truth. They all slowly caved. And now even the Orthodox are kind of silent on it. The Greek Orthodox, Russian, they're kind of silent on it. And that all, they all slow, but it was the Catholic Church that was known for having children and for spacing out children, and that children were part of marriage. Oh, no, it's not easy. It's not easy. It's a sacrifice. It's a suffering. But then in the 50s and 60s was the development, this amazing development was supposed to save the world, that contraception pill. It was different than a barrier. It was different than a barrier method. It was which is what condoms are. And but it was to trick a woman's body into think that she's ovulating. And I think that she's pregnant. I'm sorry, I think that she's pregnant and she stops ovulating. But many of them don't stop implantation. I mean, don't stop impregnation. They stop implantation. So where the fertilized egg, which in our mind, in our faith, that's a person, just a one-celled person who's already taking in nutrients and developing his own DNA, and then it attaches to the uterine wall. Well, if she's not ovulating, right, her rhythms are off, well, that's an abortifacient. It's just washed out. That's it. So when that came out, everybody thought the church was gonna cave. And so, very long story, you know, Janet Smith tells it well about how Pope Paul VI put together a commission to study it. And he was ingenious. He didn't put a bunch of yes men on this commission. He put all kinds of people who were the most critical of the church and had them study it. And then it was leaked. Well, let me go back. I forgot to mention one more
Yeah,
thing.
I was
At
gonna
the
say, go
Lambeth
ahead.
Council in 1930, when they said it was okay, at that moment the Pope released another encyclical, not another, an encyclical called Casta Canubi, which reaffirmed, so it's before Humanae Vitae, way before Humanae Vitae, that the church had already been documented. You can go back to all the way Augustine. Augustine, when he found out people were contracepting, he said, "What kind of sin is this? I don't even know what to call it. I don't even know what to call it." They were totally scandalized by that people were thwarting children. I think John Wesley, and you can correct, there's a great book by a Protestant called "The Bible and Contraception." He said, he quoted John Wesley saying that contraception was worse than murder. It was like sodomy. So anybody who thinks this is, you know, that we're that it's always been like that is not. But yeah, so that 1930, anybody's interested, is called Casta Canubi, by the Pope at the time. I can't think of his name right now. May have been Pope Pius X.
Yeah, I'd have to look. I don't
Maybe
know.
Pope Pius IX. Anyway, but we skip forward to 1960, and then it was leaked. It was leaked that the little commission was gonna tell the Pope, suggest to the Pope that let's go ahead and change the teaching. Just go ahead and change it, just to what everybody else had done. And then he dropped the bomb on, I want to say, July 6th, July 8th, something like that, 1968. He
1968.
reaffirmed, and anybody's interested, Humanae Vitae is beautiful. It is beautiful. He released the Humanae Vitae, which reaffirmed that each and every act should be open to life. There are ways to avoid pregnancy, but to purposely thwart the marital act, to put a barrier and to thwart the marriage and to come in between it, comes between the man and the woman. You know, John Paul II said the entire universe depends on what man is for woman, what woman is for man. And then there we are. So, and then we could keep talking, but you know, many priests and bishops, unfortunately, did not celebrate it. May even bishops conferences, even especially in Canada, told people, "Well, just follow your conscience." Then now they took that back. But Humanae Vitae had, you know, some predictions. You know, a general lowering of morals, a disrespect for women, increase in divorce, and that governments would start to control fertility rates with people artificially. And this has been the death knell, I think, of many countries today, that dearth of children. But we can, you
Yeah,
know, we
it's
can have a
interesting
whole show on
the
population decline. Go ahead,
yeah.
Tom.
No, I was gonna ask that very question. So there's this myth that you hear bandied about, especially by the so-called climatologists
Oh,
that
yes.
that the world is overpopulated, that we have this overpopulation problem in the world.
Yeah,
And
it's
how do we
been
address that?
totally debunked. It's been totally debunked. Somebody wrote a book called "Cop Population Bomb," and he still has a job in a university somewhere. Totally debunked. The for a country or society to just remain stable, you need 2.2 children, and that just keeps it stable. Most countries are at 1.6, 1.5. Europe. And we have a surplus here because of immigration. But the most of the surplus is not only because of immigration, it's because people are living longer. People are living longer, so you have this top-heavy population, and people are having their 1.5 kids, and that's it. So we have a contraceptive mentality. Now, having said all that, Tom, two more things before we run out of time.
We're good.
All of John Paul II's theology of the body was based on giving a new way of teaching humanae vitae. A new anthropology had to be developed in his talks. So why this is an attack on marriage, attack on women. They always take the brunt of this, and how it contributes to divorce and just dysfunctional families. So I think people are rediscovering this, but also slowly. But the real tragedy is, they discovered that, sorry, I have allergies. They discovered
It's
that
all
only
right.
30%, or what is it, 30% or 70% of Catholics don't believe in the real presence of the Eucharist. Fully 90% of Catholics don't agree with the church's teaching on contraception. So that means when I stand up at the pulpit and talk about this, you better believe that everybody out there either disagrees, or the older ones who did practice it are put to shame because they know that they gave into it. We have done a terrible job for instilling in our own people that being open to life, the marital act, what real love is, calls for sacrifice, and all the great converts in the past 50 years. So one of the ways they came into the church when they discovered the teaching on contraception, looked into it and said, wow, the Catholic Church is right on this. And just a few months ago, I think it was Jordan Peterson, he goes, maybe those crazy Catholics have been right all the time, the whole time.
I saw that.
So we have to do a better job, I think, and we'll get to this later on, on cohabitation wise, just plain dumb. But it gives into the notion that contraception is safe sex, that even the way we use our terms, that a man and a wife have, three or four kids, and then they get him fixed, in quotations, with they do the snip snip on his reproductive organs, as if he got fixed, as if he was broken. And it is really a tragedy. And children are a gift, and when we
I
lose our
heard a
children, go ahead.
no, I was gonna say I heard I don't remember now where I heard this this comment, but and it was specific to this overpopulation thing that
Oh yeah.
there's a little more than 7 billion people in the world, and that may be a couple years old now, but
About 8 billion, I think that's something I heard.
so and there's 7 trillion square feet in the state of Texas,
Oh
which
yeah.
means you could put every single person inside the confines of the state of Texas,
And they'd have their own.
and they would have almost 1,000 square feet. That's a
No,
that's
every person in
yeah.
the whole world could fit in Texas and have
Right.
their own football field.
Well, not quite that big,
Oh,
but
it's close. Everybody
it's like
could
a
fit here and they have their
thousand square
own.
feet. So, I mean, so that
So that's
just
the big,
refutes.
it's like we breathe lies. People have believed lies. And I think the media no one wants to say it was a lie. Overpopulation was a lie. We're at a place now, 2025. We can look back on the past 60 years. We bought, and I remember watching that. Did you ever watch that Leonard Nimoy thing in 1970s about global cooling and the coming ice age? That was the big thing back in the 1970s. And then in 2000, whatever it was, by 2015, we were supposed to be, Al Gore had us
Oh yeah.
having 90 degree
The world
winters,
is
and
going to be over,
oh my gosh, and everybody believed it. And then Y2K, and we look back and said, we're going to be all right. And we look back and we said, we believed all this. Why do we believe the doom and the gloom? And it's always an attack on humans. So it's always attack, because I find it interesting that atheists often are the animal rights activists that become they become vegans, but they have no problem with contraception, killing children in the womb. We'll get to that next. But remember, again, contraception has a long history. There's all kinds of ways of having a contraceptive mentality. But to remember that real love does not fear children. That children are a blessing. They are a sacrifice. That's why the world thinks that us celibate people are, you guys are crazy. Well, it's sacrifice, but you find meaning. You find purpose. Sacrifice gives us, we find ourselves when we give ourselves away. And someone who has 9, 10 children doesn't say, man, I wish I would have had less. You know, you have 5 children. I wish we shouldn't have had all these. No, they never say that. The more the merrier. And I know a priest, Father Joseph Nassari, he's the eldest of 18. Oh, no, he's like the middle of 18 kids. And that to people now that they would ridicule you. But he goes, we never had more fun than when we were together. And it was in, he lived in Pakistan, poverty stricken. And they said, we loved our families. Got a bunch of priests and a bunch of nuns. He said, we always had a blast when we were together. So
So
that's, you know, that's overpopulation. But go ahead.
in our last we got about about 5 or 6 minutes here. So that seems to be one of the common arguments that we hear for, especially in the secular world, for why we need to have contraception is this the financial constraints that are associated to raising a family.
Yeah. And,
How was we as faithful Catholics refute that argument?
well, it's just not true. I mean, we don't even go to the end of the Bible that childless marriages have a huge rate of divorce. Huge. And that yeah, somehow coming between, you know, it has an effect on a family. When a woman is taking the pill, she loses her libido, she gains weight, she becomes irritable. That doesn't help anybody's family. Anybody's family, but the children keep families together. They keep families together, and they make parents generous and forgiving, especially when they have a Catholic home. But all this stuff about, you know, because contraception was supposed to reduce the amount of abortions, reduce the amount of divorces, abortions, and make marriage, you know,
Childless. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
And the exact opposite happened. The exact divorces skyrocketed when contraception became the norm. And then what happens is they want to people don't want to get married, and stay married, so you have no-fault divorce. I would argue that contraception and acceptance of contraception is the Pandora's box, because gay couples started saying, you know, we have sterile sex, but so do they. You guys have purposeful day or sterile sex. What's the difference? Well, good question. That's a good question there. And once you can get married, let's see, you can get married without commitment. You can have sex without marriage, marriage without sex, children without marriage, children without sex. Then what is marriage? So then we have gay marriage. And then if gender roles don't matter in marriage, well, then gender is just a construct. Here we
Social
are.
construct.
I
You could
would even point
almost,
back to Protestant Reformation. Let me lay the hammer down on Martin Luther and all the reformers. Once they reduced marriage to being non-sacramental, once they didn't, marriage is no longer a sacrament, then it's on the, well, then you
No
can take
holds
it or leave
barred.
it. And then marriage is for me. It's like, buying a car is like getting married. Well, if it serves me, and if I doesn't serve me, then I'll get me a new one. I get me a new one. That's what no-fault divorce did back in California, I guess, in 1968. Same area, maybe 1958.
I was going
I
to
can't
say
remember
it's
the
kind
year.
of that timing is interesting because about the time that we came out of this, the introduction of the pill and the introduction of no-fault divorce, and the response from the church with Humanae Vitae, the timing is of those events, and that's certainly not all of them, but kind of the big ones there that really kind of
It's all,
it's interesting the way it all
it
comes
launched the
together.
sexual revolution, which I don't think came from down below. I think sexual revolution was imposed on us from the top. I think it was
Absolutely.
imposed on us by
Political.
state and universities who don't hate marriage, they hate children. Who I think the first person who wanted to come between a man and a woman wasn't a condom, it was the devil in the Garden of Eden, to tempt them to sin against God, and then they had to cover each other up. We do this experiment with our kids. We ask them that the body tells the truth about relationships. So if a man, woman, or a boy and a girl holding each other's hands, they would say that's telling the truth about the relationship if they're in a good place, and a man and a wife. Then I'll put a saran wrap or a wrapper
Glove.
around the man's hand and say, now hold your wife's hand. And they'll go, what's that? That's weird. I said, well, why does that? Of course it's weird. It's like kissing your wife with a cellophane between your face. You might get germs. Well,
We
that's
think we
weird.
did
Well,
that dirt.
the most intimate act of a married life, out comes the plastic. They get it. They go, oh, that is awful. Welcome. Well, Father, what if you can't afford children? What if it's not a good idea? Oh, there's a way to do that. You're doing it right now. You're sitting at a desk. And I'll say, look at me. I'm not having sex right now. Look, I can jump up and down. I can walk and talk. I can laugh. See, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. We sterilize animals because they have no control over themselves. But you should be able to do this. It forms discipline. It forms discipline. And I would say practicing NFP makes couples very married. It gives them love and discipline and respect. And anybody who practices NFP, I would
And that's,
argue,
yeah,
makes
that's
the
the, that that's the church's response to all this. So, Father, we are running out of time here
okay.
for this week. Can you leave us with a blessing,
All right,
please?
well, let's end with the doxology. All glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, and as it was in the beginning, is now, and it shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you and your listeners. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right.
Go in
Thanks, Father.
peace. Thank
Appreciate
you.
it. Thank you. And folks, we'll be back next week. We're going to pick it up here with our second of our nine contentious topics here with abortion, which is really kind of works hand in hand with contraception and this contraceptive mentality. And remember, we'll see y'all next week and hope you come back and join us right here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. And remember to put on the armor of God.